Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. I'm Gary Byron, joined as always by the Director of Family Services over at the CCA, Chris Radlitz. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How has your week been?
Well, I was going to ask you the same question. My week goes by pretty fast. How about yours?
I blink an eye and it's Saturday again. I don't know where it goes.
We're right back at it. It seems like we just did last week's show.
You know? I know, right?
funny how that works. but it's good to see you again, and I hope that hope everything is going well.
Hey, you know what? I was just thinking about the fact that last week when we were on, we were talking a lot about thanking heroes and thanking people
right.
out there.
I remember that.
I didn't say thank you to you. And I want to say a thank you to you, because you guys are still here. You guys are in the radio station. You know, you're visiting. You have people like me walking in, God forbid. And you're here doing a job that's important. You're providing information. You're letting people know what's going on.
Thank you.
You're doing so much to help probably calm some people with the information that you provide, prepare people with the information you provide. So I just felt like, you know what, I didn't say thank you to you, and I guess I needed to. I'm saying thank you.
I appreciate you even recognizing that, and I can't thank you enough. And really, in 30 seconds, I can tell you, on mornings here on the DRC and Talk of Connecticut Radio Network, it's doing two things. It's educating people to the truth, you know, to the facts rather than the fiction. There's so much misinformation. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of hysteria that people don't need in their lives right now. They want the truth. They want the facts. They don't want the rhetoric and the spin that you see everybody taking for the sake of viewership or readership or whatnot. So,
you know,
we try to do it in an entertaining way, by the way. So
this isn't a political show, but I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
It kind of hurts me when I watch what's going on with the way people treat each other.
Oh.
Just because of a difference in ideology. Yeah. Because to me, you know what? It's the American people that we need to be taking care of.
It wasn't always like that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It's sad. It's sad that the state of politics now, there seems to be extremes on both sides, and the days of people getting along, and rather than taking it personally.
Well, it's nice to know that there's
a thing of the past, sadly.
And it's nice to know that there's a station like yours that has a voice of reason that is really not politically tilted in one direction or another. It's just purely the facts, as you said.
I appreciate that.
Without the hype.
And Christian and I, you know, we're on each and every Monday through Friday. We were up until 12 noon for about 2 months, from 6 in the morning till 12. Now we're on till 10. So, you know, it's call-ins. We'd love to take people's phone calls. And we're happy to have, we're thrilled to have Catholic Cemeteries Association as one of our sponsors. It means the world to us.
Well, I think that this has been a mutually beneficial relationship, because it gives us an opportunity to really let families know about how important what we do is and why it's important to them. And you said something earlier, and that's education.
Oh.
You're there to educate. Well, guess what? That's really what we're there for. Our job is to educate the families of the Archdiocese so they know what their rights are as Catholic Christians.
Do you find that there's a lot of misinformation or misperceptions that not everybody has, but the majority of people, the masses have, when it comes to what you do for work? Because I know in my line of work, that's why I'm here, you know, is to set the record straight. How do you handle that?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, the church as an organization is pretty much a stoic organization. They have a certain set of theological guidelines that they live and work by, and that's historically how it's been. I mean, the church hasn't changed in 2,000 years, because Christ said this is the way it's going to be, and that's what we do. But now some of the mechanics of how it all happens have changed. So you mentioned, you know, are there misconceptions? Sure, the whole idea of cremation, for instance. You know, forever, Catholics were not allowed to be cremated, okay?
You were the one that told me.
Right.
I had no idea that, oh my goodness, this is a few months ago. When I brought that question up to you, I almost kind of predicted what you were going to say, and you threw me the craziest curveball, and I was blown away to find out that the Catholics allow cremation. I really wasn't even expecting that answer. So,
yeah. So, I mean, it is not the preferred method, because we try and follow what Christ's teachings and Christ's example was. But And of course, you know, there's also the whole train of thought about cremation, that it's disrespecting the body in some way. And I'm not going to bring my personal views into it. I do believe that we should be following as close to what Christ did on earth as we can. But again, I understand people's desires and needs, and that's fine. And as long as it's within the guidelines of the teachings of the church, you know, we're there to support that, honor it, and help families get through that time.
Has anybody asked you, oh, I don't know what I should do. Should I be cremated?
Or, yeah.
Like, and then how do you not allow, if they're asking you, do you have like, do you say, here's my professional answer, and then here's, if you're asking me personally, here's my personal philosophy on it. Well, you offer both, or do you just keep them separate?
My family service advisors, I think when they're asked questions like that, the way that they have been, it's been suggested that they answer is, Let's go for a tour and take a look at where your options are. And then you can make a decision, because sometimes the location, it's like real estate, you know, location, location, location. Sometimes it's the location that drives what the final disposition is. Some people are perfectly happy having their human cremated remains in a little niche inside the mausoleum or in a columbarium outside. Or, you know what? No, I actually kind of like this area. Well, there's no cremations here, but okay. You know, so that's fine. It's very personal. It's a very personal decision, you know. So we don't tell people what to do. We don't, if someone pushes and says, you know, I really like to know what you think, though. And I'll say to them, you know, listen, what I think really doesn't matter. Because what matters is what is going to be good for you and your family. And how your family, because when you're gone, it's your family who's going to be here to honor you and to memorialize you. So what is it that they're going to be memorializing? And that's something that you have to make a decision. Yeah. And when you make that decision and you're happy with it, then you can rest peacefully and not worry about it. It's kind of why we talk about pre-planning so much, because, you know, it's these questions that, you know, who asks? Again, you know, this is kind of like becoming a standard line where, you know, I'm like, let's get up in the morning on a Saturday, take a ride to the cemetery and see what's cooking. No. So, you know, that doesn't happen. So people do need to think about starting the conversation.
You bring up pre-planning. I promise you we're going to get to that. I just, you know, things are different right now. There's no gatherings at mass, funerals, burials. How do you see the near future, you know, and for that matter, the distant future of Catholics celebrating their faith?
I think Catholics are still celebrating their faith, even during this time. I'll give you an example. I have children who live in Virginia. I have children who live in Ohio, family in Alabama and Chicago. Well, normally we would all get up in the mornings on Sundays and jump in a car and go to Mass. Mm-hmm. So now we gather virtually together as a family, and we choose the church that we're going to watch their street live streaming Mass, and we're there together as a family. And, you know, to give you an example, during the part of the Mass where it's the handshake of peace, we're all texting peace signs to each other, okay?
I see that being a thing of the wayside, though. When people are finally able to congregate inside of a church, it's going to be sooner rather than later. I know it's going to, you know, but I see that.
Well, I think that we can talk about many different things that may change in the future as to the mechanics of how the Mass goes, et cetera. But getting back to the issue of, you know, what are people doing now? You know, the faith is still the faith, and we still have to do the things that we do. So we honor our faith by doing it in a little different manner. And it's actually brought the family closer together, because we now know every Sunday we're going to Mass together.
Wow, that's nice.
Even though we're thousands of miles apart, we're going to Mass together. And if you want to get theological about it, okay, we are united with the body of Christ, because there in the tabernacle is Christ, okay? Mm. That is Him. He is there. He's waiting for us to show up. And now it is that body of Christ that unifies His earthly body of Christ, the church. So for us to be able to do this at the same moment, at the same time, and experience the Mass together at that time, that's powerful.
Yeah, it is.
In some cases, almost more powerful than being at Mass presently, because of the unification of the family. Oh. And the church views the family as being such an important part of who our society and our faith
are.
Are
there plans, though, to accommodate the social distancing in events such as Mass or baptisms and the domestic church's role?
Well, I do not know what those plans are at this point. I'm quite sure that the Archbishop and his team are very quickly trying to put together what are going to be the norms, at least for the short term, when churches are open again. I'm quite sure social distancing will still play a role in what we do in terms of how we attend Mass. I don't know if you're going to see holy water in the fountains anytime real soon. I'm not sure that you're going to see communion being the same with both species of body and blood of Christ. I think there's changes. You know, there are going to be changes.
You're talking about short-term changes.
Short-term changes, yeah. But and in the same token, some of those short-term changes may last into long-term. I don't know. I think I mentioned to you at the last show that, you know, there's going to be fundamental changes in our society because of what this disease has brought out in terms of how we interact. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be long-term changes also. You know, some politician said something about, or a doctor, I think it was Fauci, said something to the extent of, the handshake's going to fall by the wayside. Well, you know what? That wouldn't surprise me if people don't handshake anymore, okay? Because it's just not something that people want to do. So that's a small thing, but it's still. So I believe that there will be some changes that are long-lasting, and I honestly believe they'll be for the better.
Well, then, and we've talked about the role of the domestic church in past shows as well. How will that concept evolve and live through this environment?
Well, that's a really, really, I think, important question. And I'm going to take a moment to give you some philosophy on it, because the evolution of the domestic church, I think, has been significant during this crisis. That evolution is not something that I think is going to go away. I think it's going to be with us for a long time, and I think that's positive. What I'm concerned about is that people will think that that has now become the complete substitute for actually going to Mass together. And I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah, me too.
But I will tell you, at least from my own heart and the hunger I feel to not be able to go to Mass, to not be able to receive the body and blood of Christ, I'm hoping that others will also feel the same way. So that when it's time that the churches are open, that we will all go back to Mass, and maybe even more so than in the past. You know, because think about it. Regardless of your reasons, if you didn't go to Mass, as a rule, you just kind of, you know, okay? I mean, you still believe in God, and you still do things right, you live your life the right way, but you know, Mass is not my thing. Well, now that it's been taken away from you for so long, you know, people are funny. You know, they want what they want. They want to know their options are there. So now when it opens up, maybe some folks will say, you know what, I think I'm going to just stop in once in a while see what's going on.
The hairdresser syndrome we spoke about in the last show.
Where you
get
right.
This flood of people that are all trying to, you know, make up for lost time. Well, it may happen as well in the church.
So one of the things, though, that I think about is, you know, we as a society as an American society, we forgive very easily, but we also forget. And I'm hoping that the lessons that we've learned during this time are not forgotten. I hope that people do remember the value of having things taken away that they've always relied on. So maybe that when they come back, they'll appreciate them a little bit more.
Okay.
And I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying that there are some, obviously, that
be
that
reminded.
Must not.
Yeah.
But let's be reminded. Yeah. Let's remember, hey, you know, this is something that we always took for granted, and we really can't. Because look how easily it can be taken away from us.
So you're kind of saying, if I understand this correctly, is that something good may actually come out of this, at least in the eyes of the church, and that is it could possibly bring more people into the church physically.
I hope for their sake it does, not the churches. I mean, that's positive, but for the individuals.
Yeah, the individuals.
Because there's so much to be gained out of the Mass. I mean, the Mass is paramount to our faith. It's a central aspect of our faith. It's essential to who we are as Catholics.
Yeah. How has this pandemic, though, how has it affected the way that Catholic Cemeteries Association does business?
Well, we touched on this a little bit last week, and some of that is, I guess, The first and biggest impact, I think, that we recognize is the impact on families of this tragedy entering their lives in a very short period of time, and they lose someone. So that's probably the first impact that I think we have to recognize and come to terms with. For us, it's a little easier to come to terms with the family, obviously, but we have to come to terms with it. And then we talked about some of the things that we've done from a technology standpoint to help our families to make it easier. Yeah, and there's even more now.
The catalogs and the books that you have on your website.
Right. So we not only that, but you can just call even a family service advisor and have certain information now sent to you that you can literally like flip through. And it's really amazing. I know some of the youth today that would look at me and go like, well, it's not that amazing. Well, to me it is. You know, my generation anyway. But the other things that we've done, you know, now you can actually go on our websites and some of our cemeteries have got virtual tours. You can literally walk the cemetery and look around and see things that, you know, nobody could do before. Mm. You can, we haven't instituted this yet, but it's coming very, very soon, actual digital mapping where you can find a specific grave and zoom right into it. I mean, it's like you're walking right up to the grave of your loved one. You can type in what the name is, tell you the location, and then it'll zoom right to that spot. Which to me, I think, you know, it's kind of a really neat thing because families today, because of financial reasons, are separated all across the country. You know, the days of everybody growing up on the same block and knowing each other, and then living there their entire lives, and look, there's Aunt so-and-so, Uncle Joe, and here's my cousin. You know, those days are kind of slipping away from us. So we are a very mobile society. Well, this is, again, you talk about long-term positive impacts. Think how wonderful it is. You know, we just celebrated Mother's Day. Think how wonderful it would have been if someone who is in California, but their mother's buried here at Mount St. Benedict across the street, could log in, zoom right into their place and say a prayer and spend a few moments with her.
How do you do that? You just go to the website and type in their name? Is it like a field where you type in their name?
Or? Yeah, that aspect of it isn't up and running yet, but it will be shortly. So literally what you'll do is you just type in the cemetery. You go to that cemetery. You'll find a little block that says type in the name of the individual.
Right.
And it'll show you the location. Click on the location and it zooms right to the spot.
That is incredible.
It's cool. It really is. And I think that, you know, again, you talk about positive things that have come out of this pandemic. Well, that forced us to move forward on technology in ways that are going to help families. And I'm thrilled about it. I am absolutely thrilled
about
the fact
that we're
doing it. So am I,
actually. You know, folks, you're listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. I'm Gary Byron, always with Chris Radlitz, who is the Director of Family Services over at the CCA. And I know the CCA, you have the needs of families at the core of your priorities. I understand that. And the CCA has provided special arrangements, if I remember correctly, back in April. Have there been any financial considerations now that we're in May?
So the month of May, and this is a very rare thing for us to do, we're actually doing back-to-back promotions. In April, we had a very nice promotion for families to help them. And in May, what we're doing is if you walk into any of our cemeteries and purchase a mausoleum crypt, you will get a free porcelain cameo, which is a really nice photo that gets mounted on the front of the mausoleum crypt face.
Okay.
And also no opening and closing charges at the time of use, Ooh. Which is a significant savings for families.
Wow.
You're talking between $1,000 and $1,500. So that's a really nice savings for families to get. And we're trying to do our part to help where we can.
Yeah, because there are people who have lost their jobs.
It's devastating. The numbers that came out last week, it's just terrible. But I also believe very strongly that we will pull out of this.
Oh, I have that same feeling as well.
Because
one
of the greatest things about Americans is that in times of trouble, we make it. We make things happen. And I love it.
I even have faith in our economy.
Absolutely.
And I think it'll happen. Look, do I think it's going to happen this summer? Maybe not, but maybe the end of the third quarter and certainly into the fourth quarter. I think before the end of the year, we will see an uptick.
Listen, the fundamentals of companies have not changed. Okay? Sales have changed a little bit because maybe people aren't purchasing certain things because they're worried about their jobs. But when the jobs start to come back, which they will, and people start to feel more comfortable, there's that pent-up demand. And I have a feeling companies are going to be very pleasantly surprised by, you know, the type of demand that they have. So, you know, I'm very much like you. I'm an optimist when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
You know, because first off, I choose to live my life that way.
Yeah,
but
me
secondly, I think it's reality. It's not, this is not some scheme somewhere that I'm just making up. You look at the numbers and you look at how strong an economy we had.
Yeah.
You know, this is a temporary setback. It's been significant. It's affected people. I'm not belittling the impact on families, but it's going to come back.
I echo everything you just said.
Well, that's why we get along so well, see?
You know, here's a question for you. What is, how do I want to ask this? What is the message that you would like to get across to all of the listeners of this show? Whether they're new to the show or they've been with us since week one or two and just enjoy tuning in every week, what would be, and I'm sure, listen, and we've heard many messages. I get that. There's not one message. But if there were one, you ever talk to somebody and you have a bunch of things, I need you, if you're going to remember one thing I tell you, remember this. Well, what would it be for you conveying to the listener? If they were going to just extract one thing out of all of our discussions together, and I know we want them to extract more, but if there could only be one, what would it be?
I can't do it. Can't be one. It's going to be two, and I'll tell you what the first one is. No, it's the first one's quick.
Chris.
First one's quick.
Random
acts of thanks to those people around you.
Okay. Okay. That's a good one.
To me, yeah. you can't live in our society today
without
turning around to look at someone who's out there helping you and say thank you. That to me is important.
I'll buy that. That's a good one.
But I think the striking feature that I have seen during this is the unpreparedness. And how people are so shocked when something happens, and then they realize what they have to do in order to get it done for their families, the loved ones that they've just lost.
Yeah.
So I know this sounds a little salesy. It's not meant to be, because what you asked is a very, very good question. The idea of being able to sit down and pre-plan so that you have these things taken care of, because none of us is promised tomorrow. And I'm not trying to be gloomy or doom and gloom. Not at all. It's not my personality. But I have seen this impact when something so unexpected like this comes up and how it affects families that I can't stress enough. You know what? I know it's kind of a weird thing to think about. Our mortality is not something we want to spend a lot of time thinking about. We've talked about that. But really, take the moment and sit down with someone, family service advisor, whether it's somewhere else, doesn't matter. I don't even care where you go. But talk to someone and get these things taken care of. At least have an idea. There's no cost to have a conversation,
right,
and it'll never hurt you.
Okay. Then I now have a follow-up question to that.
Okay.
What do you think? If someone does that, if someone hears this right now and says, I'm going to heed that advice, and I'm going to do exactly what Chris just mentioned, what would that person be? I don't want to use the word shocked. That's too dramatic. But what would they be surprised to learn?
How much has to be done when someone passes?
That much.
Listen, depending on what type of services and things you want, there's 60 to 80 questions that have to be answered. These are items that have to be taken care of. Do you think about that? That's a lot of things to do.
Yeah, it is.
Okay? Because it's a funeral and it's the mass. Now I know, and the burial. Now I know we've got some issues right now because funeral masses aren't being said. Okay, so there's not gatherings afterwards for a repast.
For now,
there's a lot of things.
For now, that'll go back.
That's right, and those things will return because it's part of our tradition.
That's
part of who we are. So those things will come back, but we really have to remember and get the message across to people that you don't want to have to deal with this at the time of a loss. Get it done ahead of time. The advantages are multiple. I mean, the whole idea of pre-planning is so much more intelligent and caring for your family. The number one reason is it's really the greatest gift you can leave to your family. Okay? Not putting the burden of trying to do all this on them when you pass. So go get it taken care of. Make sure it's okay. And then the less ones, but still important, you know, you got to know who your neighbors are. You chose the spot. And you're going to be there for a long time. Last I checked, eternity is a really, really long time. So at least you know who you're going to be next to. Second, you can keep a family together, okay?
All right, when you say that, you mean you can buy more than one plot. You buy one for yourself, maybe your spouse.
And possibly your children, if that's, you know, if that makes sense.
Well, then they'll have, but they'll have a spouse of their own. They'll have a family of their own. So they may, can, what if they, you buy that spot intended for your child one day, you know, when they're, when it's their time, could they turn around and say, yeah, but you know what? I kind of decide, I'm older now and I want to be buried next to my wife that, you know, when this was originally purchased, you just bought them for my siblings, you know, but I.
You'd be funny how easily things get worked out amongst families. But also, you know, another one that I want to mention quickly, the financial consideration is significant. That's you purchase now, don't use it for 30 years, you've saved probably 200% on the cost.
Wow, that's a great point.
So there's a lot of things. That, I mean, it just makes so much sense.
Speaking of saving money, and we have less than 2 minutes, I want you to just to reiterate something that you brought up about 5 or 6 minutes ago, and that's the month of May and offering a special that you normally, it's really unprecedented because you've never really offered a special like this. Can you speak to that
in
60
seconds? Yeah, the whole
idea
of back-to-back is not something we normally do, but... for the month of May, if you purchase a mausoleum crypt in any one of our 30 cemeteries, you will receive a free cameo to be mounted on the face crypt, as well as no opening and closing charges.
Yeah, that's big.
And like I said, that's upwards of a $1,500 value for families, and we're hoping that that really helps families during these difficult times.
There you have it, for the month of May, all month long. So now that just about wraps up the show. We got a next week, I think, is that going to be Memorial Day weekend?
I think it's the following,
Okay, you know what I want to do, and we can, obviously there's no time right now. I want to talk to you about having the talk with your family members.
Sure.
Okay, and that could be half the show right there.
Oh, you're doing a teaser.
It is a teaser, for next week. By the way, between now and then, folks, if you haven't done so already, check out their website. It is www.ccacem.org. Again, it's ccacem.org. It always starts there. Want to make an appointment? Find out what this is all about? 1-800-505-0080. It is toll-free, 1-800-505-0080. We did run out of time again today. Got to make sure that doesn't happen next week. If you've got a question that you'd like to ask Chris Radlitz, please email him at ccawdrc@gmail.com, and hopefully we can get your question answered right here on the airwaves. Again, it is ccawdrc@gmail.com. For Chris Radlitz, the Director of Family Services over at the Catholic Cemeteries Association, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening. Until next Saturday, 11 a.m., when we're going to do it all again. Have a good one, everybody. So long.